Mr. Sabatino, I had the pleasure not too long ago to work with a former guest on Smith Sabatino. He's a voice, a voice teacher. He's an assistant or an adjunct professor or a tenured professor at University SUNY New York at New Paltz. Teaches communication and voiceovers and a whole bunch of things. I'll let him explain that. His name is Brett Berry. He's the owner and operator of Silver Hollow Audio, and I had the pleasure of working with him to record a CD on the essays of John Burroughs.
Wonderful.
The great naturalist.
Naturalist, yes.
In the ilk of Muir and so many others.
Mm-hmm.
And so, welcome, Brett. Welcome back to Smith Sabatino.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me. Hi, Roland. Hi, Carl.
How are you, Brett?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Go ahead.
I thought you were going to jump.
Yeah, go ahead.
Broadcasting 101.
Yes.
I'm doing well, Brett. Thank you.
Terrific. Brett, what was the premise? How did this Burroughs CD come about?
Well, I run a small production company up in the Catskills, and we do work for the big audiobook publishers, but we try to publish at least one or two titles under our own label each year, and those titles tend to be nature classics. So we've done John Muir, we've done Henry David Thoreau, we've done Henry Beston, who wrote about the Outermost House in Cape Cod. And so eventually it seemed to make a lot of sense to cover John Burroughs, who is a naturalist who lived and worked in the Catskill Mountains and has never been published as in an audio format before.
And what an interesting man. I mean, I have had an interest in reading his writings for a number of years. And I thank you, Brett. Just to, you know, full disclosure, folks. Brett asked me if I would read one of the essays, and I said yes, and I would be delighted. And Brett, you read one of them too. Let's play a little bit of your narration on. And what was the title of the essay that you read?
Sure. So this one's called "Papaktin: A Summer Voyage." And it's about a rafting trip that he takes down the Papaktin Creek or River, which now much of that area that he voyaged down is now the Papaktin Reservoir, which is part of the New York City water system. So some of the places that he describes are now submerged under
underwater
reservoir.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go.
At one point, as I rounded an elbow in the stream, a black eagle sprang from the top of a dead tree and flapped hurriedly away. A kingbird gave chase and disappeared for some moments in the gulf between the great wings of the eagle, and I imagined him seated upon his back, delivering his puny blows upon the royal bird. I interrupted two or three minks fishing and hunting along shore. They would dart under the bank when they saw me, then presently thrust out their sharp, weasel-like noses to see if the danger was imminent. One point, in a little cove...
There we go, Brett. I'm just going to fade that down and have you... That's a great essay, first of all. Hello, Brett?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. Oh, okay. We forgot to put a quarter in our machine over here.
I was waiting for the second of all.
right. I thought it would get. I mean, not only did you read that essay, but then you also had a guest to talk about it.
Yeah, so this was a fun essay. Not only does he talk about the wildlife, but he also talks about his encounters with people who live along the stream bank, farmers and farmers' wives and school kids. It's summertime, so they're out of school and working on the farm, and his interactions with them. So it's kind of a fun jaunt down the river with him, and you feel like you're there with him. The following each of the essays, so I narrated this one. You, Roland, narrated an essay called "The Heart of the Southern Catskills," which is about John Burroughs' ascent up Slide Mountain, which is the highest mountain in the region. And at the following each of those essays is an interview. So following mine is an interview with Diane Galusha, who works for the Catskill Watershed Corporation. They're in charge of basically keeping the water in the Catskills clean enough for its eventual use as drinking water in New York City. and she knows quite a lot about John Burroughs, is part of the Woodchuck Lodge, which is his historic home up here, part of that organization. And so I interviewed her about this essay and about John Burroughs, and I think the clip that I sent over is a bit about why he's not remembered as much as people like Henry David Thoreau or John Muir at this point, even though he was quite famous in his day.
Okay, here's the clip.
I think it might have to do with the fact that John Burroughs wrote and thought and philosophized more about an individual's connection to and response to nature, and that you know, all you had to do was sort of reach out and touch it and in order to appreciate it and thus to love it and thus to protect it. I think Thoreau was a more of an ascetic. He was, I think, not perhaps as people-oriented, and he wrote books that became famous in and of themselves, and his legacy endured. And Muir was more of a wilderness.
There we go, Brett. I mean, that's I think is she's really interesting and adds a lot to the fact that you read the essay as it was written, as I did on mine. Then we talk to people who are really the experts.
Yeah, it's great. It kind of puts the essays into context, and also get to know a little bit about John Burroughs, the man, and how he, you know, had these circles of friends who were quite famous: Teddy Roosevelt and Henry Ford, Firestone, Edison.
Harvey Firestone.
Those guys would come up and camp with John Burroughs and seek his advice on topics of the day. So. And at the same time, he was really very community-minded and down-to-earth, and had great relationships with his neighbors and fellow farmers.
Okay, if people are interested in getting a copy of this CD, and I hope they are, how do they do that?
Well, it's a two-disc set. It's 1995. It includes the two essays and also the interviews. And it's available on Amazon, or you can also pick it up directly from our site, which is silverhollowaudio.com. And if you enter a promo code, radio, that'll give you 20% off this or any of the other audiobooks we have up there.
Well, I think that's great. And then we have one more clip, too, with the gentleman that I interviewed, Bill Burns, who was just a delight and really knowledgeable about Burroughs, that takes place after the essay that I did. So here's a clip on that.
I knew a man, Gilbert Palin. Dr. Gilbert Palin was a wonderful physician up in Margaretville for many, many years. And he grew up on the hill where John Burroughs Woodchuck Lodge is. And he remembers a 10-year-old boy, he was born in 1911, he remembers a 9- or 10-year-old boy running into his grandmother's house, and his grandmother saying, "Shh, be quiet, John is sleeping in the den." And John Burroughs, who lived in the house just maybe a mile up the road, had been walking up the road, got tired, he was an older man at that point, and as he was wont to do, he knocked on the door, went in the house, and laid down to take a nap. He had that kind of connection with his neighbors and community members. I find that wonderful, that sense that Burroughs was this great writer who wrote every day and who was a sophisticated man, friends with some of the great leaders of America, but yet he was also very much a local, very
well,
much
a country
guy.
Well, he was buddies with Harvey Firestone and Tom.
So there we go. As you said, Brett, he was truly friends with the greats and the near greats of America at the time.
Isn't that great? He also had such a casual that same kind of relationship with the people that he met along the trip down the Papaktan River, which you know, he had, maybe it was a sign of the times, but he would simply, he needed milk, he'd ask someone for milk. He needed a place to sleep, he would sleep in someone's barn. And, you know, kind of took it day by day, which is kind of fun to listen to and follow along.
Kind of true. Well, I'm loving the fact that you're putting some of these classics out there for people to today hear what it was like. Even the cadence of the writing at that time is a lot different than what we get today in any essays.
Yeah, and he was a prolific writer. There's 23 or maybe 26 volumes of essays that he wrote throughout his lifetime, and this is this just scratches the surface. So hopefully we'll have an opportunity to do some more of them sometime down the road.
Well, I hope so too. Brett Berry, Silver Hollow Audio, thank you so much for joining us again on Smith Sabatino.
Thank you, Ron. Thanks, Carl.
Thank you, Brett.
Take care.
You too.
That's just great stuff. That's great.
It's
stuff.
Fascinating. You know, I mean, stuff. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It took me, I don't know, two or three, a couple of days to read the whole essay. If you start talking and you have an hour to read, your voice gets going. So you got to do it, you know, when it's fresh.
That's just wonderful. We've got to get Brett back. More of that stuff. I love that. Love that stuff. Love it, love it, love it. Carl Sabatino, Loving Well and Smith.
Oh.
And Smith Sabatino on America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network. Stay with us.
Think Green. Harrison with you. Did you know sunscreens pose scientifically well-documented risks of cancer besides toxic hormonal effects? Well, this information, well known for over a decade, finds sunscreens still unregulated by the FDA and ignored by industry. The problem? Sunscreens only block shortwave ultraviolet light, or UVBs, that are responsible for sunburn, but don't block longwave ultraviolet light, or UVAs, responsible for malignant melanomas, the fastest growing known cancer. So with longer sunbathing times because of well-marketed sunscreens, melanomas have soared by 130%. Even Connecticut's attorney general wrote the FDA, exposing the dangerously misleading claims on the virtual uselessness of its creams.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This five-time All-Star finished in the only tie for MVP in baseball history. His 11 consecutive gold gloves are a record for first baseman.
Two RBIs by Hernandez, all on his birthday.
So where is Keith Hernandez now? Keith can be seen on TV almost every night, whether it's a Just for Men commercial, a Seinfeld repeat, or as a commentator on the game broadcast for the Mets. He was inducted into the Mets Hall of Fame in 2007 and voted to the team's all-time squad to celebrate its 50th anniversary. In 2012, Keith shaved his famous mustache for charity.
It's been the fourth time I've shaved my mustache off in almost 40 years, and it's another opportunity to raise money for a good cause, so all good.
Heck of a shave for Keith Hernandez. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Call 888-759-MYTV. With packages as low as $19.99 for four rooms, you can't go wrong. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.